During this month of August, Lynn Meyer and I have been working together to put together a different sort of sermon series. We have looked at some of the great hymn writers that are in our hymnal and decided to sing the music from those hymnals and look a little bit about the faith that has been conveyed to us through these wonderful hymns that these hymn writers have written for us. We've looked at Isaac Watts and Charles Wesley, and last week we looked at Paul Gerhardt, and all three have given us some of our most favorite of our hymns. The only thing I noticed with all that is that they lived a long time ago, several hundred years, and none of them were Presbyterian, and none of them were women. So I sought to write that in one fell swoop here, the final one in our set. And we'll look at a woman, Presbyterian, who lived and died in the 20th century. Actually, she died in 2008, so she made it into the 21st century. As we do this, I'm going to warn you is that you need to have your hymnal out and ready. For as you see listed in the bulletin, three hymns written by Jane Parker Huber. We will pause in the middle of my words to sing those hymns and reflect upon them. So keep your hymnal at hand. Faith is meant to be sung, and hymns are for the singing of it. So wrote Jane Parker Huber in the preface to her book, Singing, A Singing Faith, and Miss Huber would know. For her faith began in singing, and she shared it by writing hymns for the rest of us to sing our faith. When we think of the great hymn writers, Jane Parker Huber probably would not be on the top of that list. However, as I counted through the index of our hymnal, I found that 10 of the hymns in our hymnal were written by Ms. Huber, and that makes her the number one Presbyterian writer in our hymnal. This number is not an accident, however. Her hymns are in our hymnal because she understands the power of hymns to convey our faith, especially in these modern times. Jane Parker Huber was as Presbyterian as they come. Her family tree would fill a whole chapter in Who's Who among Presbyterians. Her grandfather was a Presbyterian pastor and moderator of the General Assembly of the Presbyterian Church USA in 1929. Of course, then it was called the United Presbyterian Church. Her parents were Presbyterian missionaries before returning to the United States so her father could become president of Hanover College in Indiana, a Presbyterian institution. Her mother was part of the Committee of 100 that was formed in the 1920s to push for the ordination of women in the church, and that ordination of women elders was approved in 1929, the General Assembly that Jane Parker Huber's grandfather was moderator of. Her mother also served on the Presbyterian Board of Foreign Missions and on the National Council of Presbyterian Women. Her aunt was a Presbyterian Christian educator. Her cousin was Robert McAfee Brown, one of the preeminent Presbyterian authors and theologians of the last half of the 20th century. And not to be outdone, her other aunt was president of Wellesley College. Jane's husband, William Huber, was also a Presbyterian pastor, and Jane herself served the Presbyterian Church by being vice president of United Presbyterian Women, and she also served on the National Executive Committee, chaired the Council on Women in the Church, among several other national and regional assignments. But despite all that she has accomplished for her denomination, Jane Parker Huber will most likely be remembered for the hymns that she wrote, five of which we are singing today. Jane Parker Huber's own faith was born in the singing of hymns. Born in 1926, singing was a basic part of her family life. whether on church on Sundays or around the piano in the evening or at grandma's on holidays, the Parker family lived and breathed the hymns of the Christian church. Later, she passed on the family tradition of singing hymns to her own children. She wrote, "On vacations, we sang our way across the miles, folk songs, spirituals, rounds, canons, and camp songs, as well as hymns. Hardly a state in the USA has not heard four or five stanzas of For the Beauty of the Earth, sung by the Hubers of assorted ages." However, while Huber's life was immersed in hymns, she did not even consider writing a hymn until she was 50 years old. In 1976, Jane served on the planning committee for the worship service for the 1976 National Meeting of the United Presbyterian Women. The program's planners decided on a theme, Live into Hope, based on chapter 4 of Luke, specifically these words, and listen to these words from Luke 4, 16 through 20. "When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor.' He rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue were upon him." Now, Jane sat on this team as they searched for a hymn that met the following criteria: a hymn that expounded the theme, a hymn that was written in inclusive language back in 1976, a hymn that raised one's spirits and was familiar enough to be sung with enthusiasm from the very beginning of the conference. The search floundered. Finally, Jane Parker Huber sat down at a typewriter and pounded out 12 stanzas worth of words that were later whittled down to 4. And I invite you now to sing those 4 and see what the result of Jane Parker Huber's first written hymn.
Thank you.
this hymn, Jane Parker Huber had a new vocation. For Huber, writing hymns was all about the words and the word. As she embarked on this new venture of hymn writing, Huber played with the words. 2 years later, the United Presbyterian Women announced their theme for the 1979 meeting as In the Image of God, based on Genesis 1:27, which reads, "So God created humankind in his image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them." And Huber was asked to write a hymn for the occasion. She was told that the planning committee was looking for various ways in which people can use the concept of image and what that says about human beings being made in the image of God. Huber took the idea and played with the word image. She considered what makes up the many facets of the word image, words like reflection, focus, distortion, and polishing to make an image clearer came to mind. She began to consider these words and how they describe the human relationship with God. She then wrote out this hymn, presenting it as a prayer made to the one who created and continues to create in us. As we sing this hymn, notice how the three stanzas pick up the words and the theme in the image of God. And so if you would sing with me hymn number 285, God, You Spin the Whirling Planets. Huber embraced her newfound gift of hymn writing. She set out to bring a modern touch to our corpus of hymns. She focused on themes of justice, liberation, and peacemaking. She sought to be inclusive of all people, all races, all ethnicities, all ages, genders, and abilities. She did not refer to God as he because she saw God as neither male or female. She refused to use militaristic language about God or God's people. And since she was not a composer, she wrote her hymns and then looked for hymn tunes by which to sing them. And in fact, looking for the right hymn tune was something very important to her. She wrote, "One quality of the Christian faith is to admit an omission of the past, to rediscover in Scripture an idea that was there all along, but has been overlooked because of a narrow mindset, a distorted worldview, or human sinfulness. Hymns," she wrote, "are one way of correcting such omissions, of filling some of the gaps. Mutuality in mission, partnership, justice and love in combination, and peacemaking are the themes for which very few hymns can be found. Perpetuation of such omissions occurs because people like to sing what is familiar to them. But for the average person in the pew," Huber wrote, "familiarity of melody is more important than familiarity of words. So putting new words to well-known tunes can bridge significant chasms." Huber was also careful in choosing her hymn themes. She wanted them, or her hymn tunes, excuse me, she wanted them to be familiar, but also fit with the nature of the hymns that she was writing. In choosing the tune "For God You Spin the Whirling Planets" that we just sang, she used the tune, the Austrian hymn, composed by Haydn, because she had in mind Haydn's masterpiece, Creation. For the opening hymn, "God of Earth and Space," Huber chose the tune "Yigdal," which is often listed as Leone in the hymnals. Because this hymn celebrating God's providence, she wanted to use an ancient Hebrew term to convey the deep rootedness of God's providence in our Judeo-Christian tradition. On a side note, this hymn was selected as the best original text in a hymn writing competition sponsored by Trinity Lutheran Seminary here in Columbus. Huber was also careful about choosing her themes in hymn writing. She would scour the hymnals looking for themes that were unrepresented, underrepresented, or not developed in a way that she thought reflected the modern use of language. Our closing hymn, "On Pentecost They Gathered," was written because Huber noted that there are very few hymns written about this important church holiday. Likewise, she noted that the third person in the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, is shortchanged in our hymnals, and she sought to correct both those deficiencies in one hymn. As she usually did in her hymns, she started with the biblical text and then brought the themes of the text forward to our current day. When we sing our closing hymn this morning, notice how the hymn ends with the hope that the celebration of the singular event of Pentecost so empowers us that we might go out into the world to proclaim that good news to others. Perhaps the best of all of Huber's hymns is the hymn called as Partners in Christ's Service. It's the hymn for which she received the most requests to use. It was written for the 1981 General Assembly Women's Breakfast. That General Assembly was the precursor to the reunion of the Northern and Southern churches, which became official in 1983. This hymn was meant to convey the idea of partnership of women and men in the church. But she said later, it developed a life of its own. Even now, It is sung at events celebrating the partnership of clergy and laity, at events celebrating joint church ventures, even joint denominational ventures. And not surprisingly, it is often sung at weddings of clergy couples. As you read the words, you will find several scriptural references, especially Ephesians 2, 14 through 22. As we sing it this morning, see how the words could and should be the anthem of any church in any age. And let us stand to sing hymn number 433.